Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Now, I'm going to go to, I'm going to begin in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And Mark chapter 3, it's the message today is called Heart Health. Mark 3, verse 1. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. They watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Now, does this make any sense? They're watching to see if Jesus heals, that they may accuse him. Well, how do those two words go together, heal and accuse? And he said to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. He said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? They didn't answer. How bizarre is that? A synagogue full of people, Pharisees, doctors of the law, scribes, people who know better, should know better, they can't answer a simple question. Is it lawful to do good and to save life on the Sabbath? That is how religious they had become. But when he looked around about with anger, it's not very often that you find a scripture that says Jesus was angry. Do you ever think he's angry at you? You know, I don't find a scripture where Jesus looks at somebody that sins in anger. Isn't this interesting? We kind of think that we make him angry when we sin. Well, he doesn't like when we sin, but he looked at sinners and loved them and said, go and sin no more. But I don't see him looking at people that are in sin other than religious sin with anger. Here, he's looking at these people that are in synagogue. They're not laying out a synagogue. They're actually in church. I'm not talking about you guys that are online. You're in church too. But if you're not online, you're not here, where are you? These people are in church. And he's looking at them with anger. Why? He's grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He says to the man, stretch forth your hand. He stretched it out. His hand was restored instantly, whole as the other. And look at the reaction. The Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians. Now the Pharisees, a religious sect, gets together with the Herodians, not even religious. The Herodians are secular. The Herodians are political. So they join forces with a secular political movement. How they might destroy Jesus. Why? He healed a man on the Sabbath. Oh, come on. Can your heart get any harder than that? What made their heart so hard? Religion. Religion. I think it was Marx or Lenin, maybe somebody who knows better can say, they said that religion is the opiate of the people. No, religion is the killer of the people. Religion makes our hearts hard. Now, I'm going to digress just for a moment, because what happens in the spirit also is reflected in the natural. And in the natural, heart disease is the leading cause of death in America. Heart disease, not cancer, not diabetes, not heart disease. One person dies in the United States every 36 seconds from heart disease. Isn't that phenomenal? About 659,000 people die in, and that's one in every four deaths each year. And you know what it costs our healthcare system? $363 billion. $363 billion. That's a lot of money. And heart attacks, 805,000 people have heart attacks every year. Now, that is an example in the natural. Now, if heart disease is so deadly in the natural, what's it doing in the spirit? What's happening to hardened hearts in the spirit? We're going to investigate this a little bit and see what we can do about it, that our hearts don't get hard, because we are not religious. We have relationship. I often say that. People say, oh, man, you're so religious. You have church 4 days a week. You have online 3 days a week. You have prayer 2 days a week. You're really, no, not religious, relationship. What we have is not religion. We have a relationship with the creator of the universe, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have religion. Religion is rules and regulations with no substance. Here, I'll give you an example of religion. In the Old Testament, I wasn't prepared to say this, so I'm not going to give you a scripture reference, but you can look it up. In the Old Testament, when they came up from the wilderness, they had the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was where the presence of God was. They had the pot of manna in there. They had the rod that budded. They had the tablets of the commandments in there. And the Lord would speak from there, and His glory would emanate from there. And so they made a tabernacle in Shiloh, if you're from around here. And they set the tabernacle in. They had a tabernacle service. They had singing and they had ministry and all of the things, priests, and they had a service there every day. And then David brings the ark up to Jerusalem. He brings the ark up with celebrating and celebrations and dancing. And he brings the ark to Jerusalem. And now the presence of God is with the ark. The presence of God goes to Jerusalem. What happens to Shiloh? They keep having service. They kept having service there. No presence of God. That is an example of religion. Religion is where there's service to God without the presence of God. And it's not even service to God. It's just service. Now, I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 20, well, actually, I'm not going to look there. I'm not going to have you turn there. I have plenty of other places. Go to Ephesians 4. I'll go to there first. You can turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify of the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, we have a command not to walk like the world. We see that throughout the Word of God. Once we're born again, once we're changed, we walk like we're changed. We walk like Jesus, not like the world. Verse 18, having the understanding, this is the world, having the understanding darkened, be alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. This is the world. That word blindness also means hardness. In the Greek, it means hardness or blindness. Hardening of heart alienates us from the presence of God. A hardening of the heart. This is why there is religion. It's of the enemy to harden hearts, to make people think they're doing when they're not doing, because they have no relationship. And so he says we are alienated from the life of God. Hardening of the heart alienates us from the life of God, and our entire future depends on the life of God. Scripture says that we have the life of God. Remember that song, some of you back in the charismatic days, I have the life of God in me, I have the life of God in me. I can't remember the rest of the words, but I have the life of God in me. His nature and his ability. Something, his nature, his something, his nature, and his ability. That was a great, we used to sing great old songs, you know. Now they can sound a little bit hokey now, but there's the word. And yeah, we have the life of God in us is essential. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will make alive your mortal bodies. So the Word of God says that the world, because of hardness of heart, is alienated from the life of God. Now, also Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I'll give thanks to God with all my heart. Well, if our heart is hard, we can't do that. I'll give thanks to God with all my heart. All our heart means there can't even be a portion of the heart hardened. You know, sometimes someone has a heart attack. It's a mild heart attack, but it damages a portion of their heart. Well, I want all my heart to work. I want all my heart. I don't want any portion of my heart not to work, right? I want all my heart to work. I want 100% function. And the world can begin to harden a portion of the heart. That's why over and over we see in the Word of God that he wants our whole heart. He doesn't want half-hearted Christians. Whole heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Now, if you divide that a little bit, or let's cut that scripture up a little bit here, dissect it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. If we trust the Lord with half our heart, then we're leaning to half our understanding. If we're leaning on our understanding, we're not trusting with our heart. If we're leaning on partial understanding, we're not trusting with our heart. What that means is we trust in church, we trust in prayer, but all the rest of the time, we are doing it the way we know how to do it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It may not make sense, but if it's God, it works. The key is to know God. Now, how do we get that heart fixed? Well, you can go to, in the natural, go to a surgeon. Surgeon can transplant a heart, right? They started heart transplants back in the, 70s? Started transplant. I remember it was in South Africa, I think it was the first heart transplant. And they started to take a human heart from one person and put it into someone else. Now, how did they get the human heart from one person? Not from Frankenstein, wasn't that kind of thing. You know, someone passes away, and hopefully not from heart disease, some traumatic event, and their heart is still in good condition. And they have indicated that they will be a heart donor. You know, you and I are called to be heart donors. Did you know that? We'll get to that in a minute. I got ahead of myself, but we'll get to that. Yes, you and I are called to be heart donors. Anyway, I'm going to turn to Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs a lot today, but I'm going to turn to one verse right now, Proverbs chapter 4. And in Proverbs 4, verse 20, I'll start verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, how do we protect our heart in the natural? Exercise, right? If we, and we don't have to be, you know, exercise nuts. You know what I'm talking about. It's 28 degrees, and they're jogging in shorts and a t-shirt down by the beach. And it's raining or sleeting. We don't have to be exercise nuts. But just good, healthy exercise. Keeping the cardiovascular system moving. Is that a nice big word? Cardiovascular? Huh? You don't have a dummy up here, right? I didn't hear enough amens on that. Pastor Ray Beth sneezed when I said that. That was her excuse for not saying amen. So, also a healthy diet. Right? No more Big Macs, Bernie. Can't eat all the fatty foods. You can't eat all that. You need a healthy diet. The same thing in the spirit. Healthy spiritual diet. Good word. Not fatty word. Good word. Good strong word. Good anointed word. And exercising your faith regularly. Moving things by faith. Moving circumstances. Bringing about miracles by faith. Exercising your faith. But he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Now, keep is guard. A keep in King James time was a jail, a guard. And the keeper was the guard. We are to guard our hearts. It's our responsibility to make sure that what goes into our heart is healthy and promotes growth and strength, not deadly, not something that will destroy portions of our heart. It is our responsibility to keep our hearts. It's not God's. We are responsible for our own heart. And we are to do it with all diligence. We are to examine what we're watching, what we're hearing, what we're meditating upon. Right now, the world is crazy with what they're watching, what they're listening to. And I'm not just talking about music or television or radio. I'm talking about the things, the ideas, the concepts, the theories, what's being taught in schools, completely turned upside down. But the Word of God says the world will be upside down, and they'll call darkness light and light darkness, which is what's happening right now in our lives. We have to watch what we hear, watch what we meditate upon. You find that if you have the radio on when you're driving around, this is what I find. If I'm driving around and I have the radio on, and I don't particularly like what's on there, and so I'll put on some of my music. I usually listen to classical music, and I'll put something on. In the middle of the night, if I wake up, that music's going through my mind. If I'm listening to the Christian radio station, like there's an old hymn of the church. I don't remember what it is now, of course, because I don't want to talk about it, so I can't even bring it up to my mind. But it's an old hymn of the church, and there's a gospel quartet singing it, and it's really nice. It's really, really nice. And I find that when I hear, and they played it several times, in the middle of the night, I wake up, and that's in my heart. That's going. That's what's playing in my head. That's what's playing in my head. We have to guard what we meditate upon. We want to meditate on things that are life, health, peace, goodness, godliness, power. Those are the things we meditate upon. You don't want to fall asleep at night thinking you're a failure. You want to fall asleep at night thinking I can do all things through Christ. You want to fall asleep at night thinking I'm going to die. You want to fall asleep at night thinking I live for Christ and He lives in me. So, our responsibility to guard our heart, that's the first thing we need to do. Guard the heart. We've been abandoning that responsibility and allowing too much into our heart that shouldn't be there. And that will cause heart damage. Correct it now. Correct it starting today. And in Proverbs 23, I'm going to go there. You don't need to turn. I'm just going to go there real quickly. Okay, Proverbs 23. This is the scripture I was talking about just a moment ago. Proverbs 23. Verse 26 says, my son, give me your heart. So we're supposed to be heart donors. God wants our hearts. We are to give him our hearts. That's why I said we're heart donors. We give it to God. Now, what do you think will happen to our heart in the hands of God? He can take dirt and make it into a living being. What can he do with our hearts? As dirty as they may be. He breathes the breath of life into them and cleans them up, puts them on the feet, and go forward in faith. What are the benefits? I'm going to be now for the rest of this time in Proverbs. We're going to look at three places of Proverbs. The benefits of giving our heart to God. The benefits of serving God with our heart. The benefits of being in the things of God. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, a cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine. Has anybody ever taken medicine for anything in their lives? Of course, everybody has, even if it's an aspirin. People have taken some kind of medicine. In this day, it's unusual to find somebody who's not on medicine, some kind of medication. Have you ever heard those select quote people on the radio? And the guy says, you know, I got this quote for so-and-so, you know, and he's on meds and blah, blah, blah. And then at the very end of the commercial, he says, I'm so-and-so, and I'm on meds too. Everybody's on meds. God's word does good like medicine. God's word will heal what ails you. God's word will change the biochemistry of your body. God's word will drive sickness and disease out of the physical body. And God's word needs to be in our heart. That's where it starts. God's word in our heart does good like a medicine. It makes us happy and cheerful. When you're down and depressed, you feel headachy and sick and tired. When you're up and happy, you feel good about yourself and the things around you. You can overcome when you're up and cheerful. When you're down and depressed, the slightest thing happens. The slightest thing comes down the pike and you're overwhelmed. God gives us joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we allow that joy into our hearts, we're keeping our heart, right? We're driving out, we're keeping out the depression, we're keeping out the things of the world, we're keeping out worry, and suddenly along comes the Spirit of God with the joy of the Lord. We open the door wide and let His joy into our heart, and it's like a medicine. Raises us up, heals us, delivers us, sets us free from worry and depression. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Put it on. You got to put it on. God's not going to drop it on you. You got to put it on. And when we put it on, when we begin to praise God, we get to, even if you're driving, you know, you can't really lift your hands and praise God when you're driving. I might, but not you. You know, only a professional driver can do that. But you are at least listening to the praise music, and it's getting in your heart, and you start to get happy. And you know, there is a spiritual reaction. It gets into your heart and changes. I would rather have that circulating through my system than the stuff of the world. The second thing from Proverbs, this is Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs 3, I'm going to begin in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. We looked at that. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So shall it be health to thy navel and marrow to your bones. When we trust God with all our heart, this is the second benefit. Trust God with all our heart, it's health. That's the second place it's confirmed. It's health. A lot of disease today starts in the heart. You know, I didn't go through all the other diseases that people die of because of heart. I just looked at heart attack and whatever the first one was. But there are a whole, I mean, when I looked up that statistic, it went page after page after page. All this other stuff that comes from the heart. Not only do you have to have heart replacement, there's heart valve replacements. There's pacemakers that are put that can give that electric jolt to the heart to keep it beating properly. Sometimes I look at believers and I think I need a defibrillator. Clear! Put them back to life. Oh, my mind just raced. I'm not going there. I know that wasn't the Holy Spirit. It should be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. Your presses burst out with new wine. If we are so concerned with the depression and the loss and the angst and the problems and the trials and the tribulations that weigh down our hearts, we cannot honor God. We're too concerned with ourselves. Have you ever noticed that someone who's chronically ill, and I'm not talking about someone who, you know, has a cancer and they're fighting the cancer. I mean, someone who's just always seems to be sick, always seems to be ill, always seems. Do you notice they're always self-centered as well? They're usually so concerned with their symptoms, their ailments, their doctor's report, their disease, they really don't have time for anybody else. But when we honor the Lord with our substance, when we get beyond ourselves and seek to serve with all our heart, it started with trust the Lord with all your heart, then we find our barns are filled and they're overflowing. Our presses are overflowing because we're honoring God. We're trusting God. We're believing that Jesus makes it all happen. Proverbs 3 again. Verse 1 and 2, my son, forget not my law, that's the word of God, but keep it in your heart. Keep it in your heart. For length of days and long life and peace shall I add to thee, shall they add to you. So, there we go. Long life. Not only long life, peace. A long life with peace. It's not, nobody wants to live a long life with all kinds of issues, you know. Nobody wants to live, oh man, Lord, take me now. You know, have you ever heard, oh, take me now. I can't do it anymore. I can't go through this anymore. Nobody wants a long life like that. But he says a long life with peace. Length of days will he add. You know, we look at some of the statistics from the ancient world and we think, oh man, people died in their 30s back then. Because they give the statistic that the average lifespan is like 35 years. The key there is average, not 35. 50% of babies died in childbirth in those days. And then another 20% didn't live till they're 6 years old. So that skews that. People lived to be 70 and 80 back in the ancient world. In the Middle Ages, even during all the death and destruction, people lived into their 70s and 80s. It was skewed because of the early deaths. Now let's translate that spiritually. Until we are mature in the things of God, that's a critical time. When someone is just born again, the enemy tries to take them away right away. That's why when someone's just born again, we need to put them on the Word of God right away. That's why it's so very essential that when we bring someone to Jesus, we bring them to church. Absolutely essential. This is the incubator where they're brought up and nourished and nurtured so that their heart is stayed on the Word of God, filled with the Word of God, dependent upon the Word of God. And then they're ready to face the world. And with long life, he says, I love that, for length of days and long life, length of days and long life and peace shall this add to you. Have you seen people who have a bad heart and they have a very difficult life? They can't walk two or three steps without panting. Their circulation is poor. They have aches and pains in their body. Their breathing is labored. Their heart sometimes hurts. They sometimes have pain. That's no way to live. And yet, people live that way in the spirit. They look fine in the natural. They look fine. But in the spirit, they're filled with fear, anxiety. They dread the next report. They're afraid of what's going to happen in the office, in the home, or the doctor's office, or the bank. They live from day to day, unknowing what's going to happen next. That's not what this word says. This word says length of days, long life, and peace. You know God. You know He takes care of us. You know you can depend on Him. You know He overshadows us. You know Jesus is our healer. You know He's our provider. You know that your steps are ordered. You know that you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No, COVID's not going to come on you. No, heart disease is not going to come on you. You go to the cross where Jesus took upon Himself all sickness and disease, all weakness and infirmity, and by His wounds we are made whole. And then every time you would sin, you get back up and you ask Him to forgive you, because the blood of the Lamb still forgives sin. We still put it on the lintels and doorposts of our hearts. And the death angel cannot get through. We walk in the blessing of God because Jesus became a curse for us. It's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. That the blessings of Abraham would come upon us by faith. But if there's not faith in our heart when we pray, if we can't believe in our heart when we pray, because it's so clouded, it's so hardened by religion or by society or by the world, then we are unable to access the promises of God, unable to walk like Jesus, and unable to believe when we pray. It all hinges on the heart. Jesus put it like this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. If our treasure is the Word of God, and I've discovered that God's Word provides for every need and every desire of our lives, that's the great secret. That's the key. You know, the enemy has gotten the world convinced that the Word of God is old-fashioned, out of date, not true, not historical, not true, not accurate, not real, and not powerful. And that all it does is tell you what you can't do. That's what I always thought. I thought, who wants to read that? It just tells me I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. And once I got born again, I realized it never says that. But once I was born again, I didn't want to do this, I didn't want to do that, and I didn't want to do that. That's the great mystery, and that's the great secret. When we get the Word of God into our hearts, it opens doors to everything we ever wanted in life, every desire we ever had. And not only opens the door, but supplies those supernaturally. We begin to have a faith relationship with a faith God, the creator of the universe, who has no lack. And opens the windows of heaven to the saints of God. That we can receive what we need, when we need it. Over and over. Breakthrough, increase, favor, overflow, healing, health, prosperity, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, strength, physical ability. There's no area of life that God has not left out of supplying through His Word. It just takes us fixing the heart.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person. But we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.